T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski and the franchise, Tim Allen.
Final from San Diego, and the results are not good as the Brewers get shut out tonight. 2-0 the final, and they better figure it out against lefties. More on that in just a bit. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen and company, Jeff Orlowski, Sam Schmitz, in a late-night conversation about a Brewers 2-0 loss and a Brewers situation where this was just a dead fish taco game in San Diego. I thought I'd throw that in there. You just kind of knew that it was a softer tossing lefty. I guess he could hit lower 90s Lucchese. The Lucchese crime family just stepped in and just shut down the Brewers on 4 hits, all told for the crew. Zeus, Moose, Yelly, and Kane with the base hits. Yelly's was a double, but outside of that, you just get a base runner aboard. I don't know. I don't think they did. I don't believe, Jeff, that they had two runners on in any one inning. I think it was just single runners on, a lot of them with two outs, and they paid the price. So they're just sitting back and waiting for the two- and three-run home runs with nobody on base. That's kind of tough to do.
Yeah, it is. And, there were many times that they brought the tying run to the plate, and then it was a strikeout. Over and over and over again.
Yeah, and they need to figure it out, man. Paul McGranit, the dude that pitched against them in San Francisco, we all know it's well documented about Jose Quintana. We know that Cole Hamels. We know that this dude Lucchese. They better figure it out against lefties, and they're going to face another couple of lefties in this series. I don't know. Maybe it's time to go against the grain a little bit and leave Eric Thames in there. We had talked about that over the weekend and well into last week even, that, hey, man, if anyone's earned the spot to get the reps, it's Eric Thames over there, and let him go lefty-lefty. Just provide a little bit of a spark, and it's just not happening. He's going with, HPs, and when they face a lefty, he's going with that right-handed lineup. Shaw's out, Thames is out, Zeus is in. Now, Zeus coming around a little bit, had a base hit and a walk today. So we'll take that out of Zeus starting to come out of this thing a little bit, but little by little. But maybe it's about time you go with your guns and let it go. Go against the analytics a little bit, but I doubt that's going to happen. Now, I really do. You face lefties, and this year you're struggling. And tonight was no different, as the Brewers get shut out tonight 2-0. Are you just a little perturbed about the way the, not just the Brewers, but baseball in general is just kicking back and waiting for the three-run homer?
I hate it. It's not the game that I fell in love with. As a kid, it's not the game that I'm used to watching, and the game that I enjoy. I hate the outrageous number of strikeouts every single game. It drives me nuts. It's boring as hell to watch. Combined, there was 19 strikeouts in tonight's game. That's unreal.
When you're clicking, okay, fine, we all dig it, and Bernie's sliding down the slide, and everyone's loving life, and you're hitting two-run homers and get a couple of men on. There's a three-run jack, and everyone's living large. But when it comes down to pure baseball, when the dude's on, he's not going to give up many base runners, let alone, two or three or four in one inning to allow that two- or three-run home run. It's tough. It's challenging. And do they have the firepower from the right side of the batter's box to get this thing done? And it just seems to me that a year-long thing is against lefties, they really struggle.
Yeah, and it's obviously no coincidence that the Chicago Cubs are a lefty-dominated rotation. And you know that they built that and with an eye on the crew. And the reason why they keep all these lefties is because they know that the crew kind of struggle against them as well. And it's going to continue to happen. The longer that the Brewers are a perennial contender from, you know, game one to game 162 or three, they will start facing teams that will set up their rotation.
No doubt.
To start throwing lefties if they could. If they've got an off day before or after and they're able to throw a lefty at the crew, they will.
Yeah, no question about it. You're going to see that more and more as this thing moves forward, and it's a battle of analytics. It really is. It's quite fascinating to me. It just seems to me that Council is so against the bunt. With one out and one on, he allows Yolish Chacin to swing away. Never squared in the entire at bat.
Yeah.
Now, you tell me what's going on there. Someone needs to explain that one to me.
It's insane. It doesn't make any sense to me. It goes against everything that I was taught and that I grew up watching and learning about baseball. It blows my mind, Tim.
And you wonder, I know the response you're going to get with some of these, small ball conversations, and it's going to be, well, you have to have the players and know how to bunt. If they don't know how to bunt, I heard Schroeder say it on the air today. That's no excuse. I'm sorry. I know it's not me bunting, and that's what, I don't know, one of these coaches, I think it might have been Murph when he was hired a couple of years ago. I had him on a hot stove show, and he said, hey, man, it's not that easy. It's not that easy laying down some wiggle on a hard slider, laying down a bunt on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. And no, but it's not me bunting. It's not Jeff Orlowski bunting. It's a professional baseball player bunting. And why does it look like it's easy for the other teams? Why does it... It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. San Diego, they tried it today. And, I don't understand. And, yes, you know, the pocket protector dorks will tell you, oh, well, you've got a 0.60 average, better chance of getting a hit with two guys swinging away than you do one guy if you give an out away. You know, it just, I don't buy it, Tim. I don't buy it.
It was the third inning, Jeff, and it was a leadoff walk by Zeus. And then Orlando hits the deep drive to center field. I got it here in my notes. And I'm thinking, okay, Kane's on deck. You know he's due for a base hit. And Yolish Chacin doesn't attempt the bunt to move him over. Now, you could, I guess, make the argument that Zeus not blessed with the best of speed. But still, I mean, come on. You think that what they're saying is a better chance that Yolish Chacin comes up with a base hit than a bunt.
Yeah.
Than a sacrifice bunt.
Well,
I don't know.
It was the same thing in yesterday's game. You know, Chase Anderson, who is batting zero on the season, he is a 0-80 hitter for his career, was not asked to put down a bunt ever yesterday. And he came to the plate at least once with a runner on, which would have been a perfect opportunity for him to lay down a bunt. They didn't do it yesterday either. It's unreal.
I'm just wondering if other fans, other fans are feeling that same thing, that, boy, when it gets to crunch time, when it really gets to a tight ball game like that, can the Brewers manufacture to get a few additional wins a year, because that's all it might take. That's it. And I know what the analytics and I know what the baseball lean is these days, contemporary baseball. You heard Craig Counsell before the game today was talking about it. He literally was saying that, well, man, you look at our home runs, you look at our on base. He had to make sure he said those two things together, which is OPS. That's the game, right? Is that all we have left in baseball is OPS, the God Almighty OPS? I don't know, man. I don't know about that. I really don't. But there is the correction of the game that certainly I would have made. Correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. Third inning, one out, one on, Yoli Chacin at the plate, and he doesn't lay down an attempt to sacrifice bunt. Now that's on Counts. That's nobody else but Craig Counsell right there. 414-799-1250 as the Brewers fall in this one. I'm just kind of breezing through my notes here. Machado, how much do you hate him?
A lot.
I mean, that dude. He got his out. He got his home run out. Brewers had several go to the track. You don't get out. It's the same thing that happens in San Francisco in the first couple of games of that series. Deep fly balls just didn't carry out. When you don't carry out and you're in a Brewers uniform and you do that three, four, five times, you're not going to win. He's not going to win. You got to get him over the wall. Craig Counsell, he'll just fess up and tell you that. We didn't get the long ball. We didn't get the home runs. How about getting some balls in the gap? How about getting some contact, getting the balls in play, hitting behind runners, sacrifice bunting? Laying down a bunt for a base hit would be a shocker on this team, would it not?
Yeah. Well, you know, Ryan Braun tried it very late in the game.
Love it.
And, you know, he ended up popping it up straight back, and the catcher caught it, but thankfully it hit the net and was a foul ball, and he went on to make an out anyway. But at least he tried it. Now, we go back to the weekend, the series against the Giants. Saturday's game, there was a combined 5 sack fly RBIs in Saturday's game, Tim.
That's an 8-7 Brewers loss, right?
I loved it. I loved seeing that. You know, that's how you grew up with baseball. That's how baseball was played. You bunt them over, you know, sack fly or something like that, or a gapper, and you drive them in. And it was nice that it wasn't just homer, strikeout, 14 more strikeouts, homer. You know, that's boring to me. It's boring.
Yeah, you just knew tonight wasn't going to be the night. And it happened early. The Brewers in order in that first. Chacin got into some trouble in the bottom half. He gets the first out on a nice play by Moose, but he hits Hosmer with a pitch, and then Machado, a screamer off Chacin that hits the umpire.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just don't want that kind of karma in the first inning of the first game of a series. Just, oh, man, that's just a killer. Wow, Brewers fall tonight 2-0 the final. We will hear from Craig Counsell coming up. And Yoli Chacin, 4 2/3. We'll talk after the break here. Did he do the job tonight? Over 100 pitches and pitch count, higher than a kite. And did he do the job? We'll talk about that after the break. Babe Buchanan Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Brewers fall 2-0.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Yeah, a dead fish taco game tonight in San Diego as the Brewers fall 2-0. And I'm just wondering, a game like this is pretty much an eye-opener to the way baseball is trending. And there are a lot of numbers that I could confuse you with, and there's a lot of radio shows that will throw a ton of numbers at you. I don't want to do that, but you guys watch baseball, and you guys certainly watch Brewers baseball, and I'm not saying either way necessarily. I'm just saying I don't know if I like the trend. I'm leaning toward not. Because of this, you're very vulnerable when you get into a situation like this. You're very vulnerable not only on a nightly basis if you stack lefties on your roster and then lefty, lefty, lefty like this series. And be careful, Brewers offense, because you got two more lefties in this series. It's just, I'm not sure it's the brand of baseball. Well, I'm sure it's the brand of baseball I'm not accustomed to over the years, years and years and years. And again, I'm leaning that way toward, wow, you know, you're so vulnerable in a series, and I'm talking a playoff series. Certainly a series in season, and we've seen that. We might be witnessing it here and now, facing three lefties in San Diego. But I'm talking about a postseason series. You're more vulnerable to get bounced if your offense is a hit-or-miss offense, if it's a volatile, power-only offense.
Yeah.
You go contact, small ball, Tampa Ray style, San Francisco Giants style. Look what the Giants did, winning World Series titles in 10, 12, and 14. 3 of 5 years. Did they have thumpers? One or two, maybe. They had Crawfords. They had Pences. They didn't slam 200 homers. They were getting it done bat-to-ball skills, bunting skills, fundamental skills. And again, I'm not saying that you can't be successful, because look what the Brewers did last year with the same style. I'm just saying that in a playoff series, you're vulnerable. It's a volatile situation for you because you just have one little minor slump, a 3 or 4 day slump, and you're bounced. You're gone. It's just something to think about. That's all it is. We'll see. 414-799-1250. Who got lit up? The Brewers offense got lit up for no runs, and they had 4 hits in the game. 1 double, 3 singles. That's it. But Jeff, in the opening segment, mentioned that the tying run was to the plate a lot, and that gives credit to Yolish Chacin. Hey, he battled in this. He did. He kept his team in a ball game. I would have loved to have seen one more out. Get him through 5, which is what I wanted him to do. At the bare minimum, do what Chase does. Keep your team in a ball game. Get around 5 innings. It's not a long-term goal. It's just a one-day, one-shot thing. And he did that, 4 2/3, 6 hits, a couple of runs, 3 walks, a hit batter, and 7 strikeouts in the performance here tonight for Yolish Chacin. So all told, not horrible. It's not great. I don't even know if you can call it good, but you can call it okay. I think it's all right. Hey, Mike, you're on the Fan, man. Do you like the trend of baseball here?
Yeah, I'm here. Tough to watch. I got 3 pages, but I only limited to 1 here. 4 hits for Sleestein, right?
Yeah.
Braun, didn't I see him bunt leading off?
Yeah, he did attempt a bunt late, yes.
Tell me he didn't do that.
No, okay. I like that.
The Big Show, I came to the defense of the Brewers. Oh, how do you lose to the Marlins? Well, okay, they're playing good teams. Dodgers, they start with St. Louis. Now you lose to Miami. Oh, boo-hoo. Now you got Pittsburgh, who's pretty good. Houston, I think they're pretty good, 2 games. Now you got San Francisco in there. And then San Diego dropped, what, 100 mil on the team?
No, yeah. They're much improved, you know, San Diego.
I like to watch the inner game. I see, what is his name, Machado.
Yeah, I'll go with Machito. It was good.
Yucking it up in the dugout. I know exactly what he's saying. 2 runs, we got this. Then they show Console. It looks like his dog died. I mean, give me some positives, guy. I really need it.
Right.
Well, Timmy just gave you one. Yolish Chacin, you know, he kept you in there. Yeah. He battled. He wasn't, you know.
He only lost like too. They didn't lose by 16.
Yeah, and they only lost one game tonight. See, there's
right,
your positive.
Right, right.
Okay, it's only one. Thank you, Mike.
414-799-1250.
The style that David Stearns has chosen to build this team with, I think it's proven to be successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think overall, have you achieved your goal? No, you haven't. Being relevant and being legitimate and being a contender every year is not the goal. That's part of it. It is. But it's not the ultimate goal, guys. You gotta have a lot of things go right to win a World Series. And the number one thing that has to go right is you have to be hot at the right time, right? The team that's hot, you saw what the Brewers did in September last year, and then rolling into that playoff series against the Rockies. And then to a degree in the NLCS against the Dodgers. They were scorching hot. Guys, they just were. That was a run from the ages. It was dynamite. But you had a lot of things that went right for the crew. All that being said, you're going to get that hot again this year? You're going to have to win some grinders. This was a grinder game. This was a grinder game that maybe a little different tack would have been in order. That's all I'm saying, is to read it to know that, hey, man, this like Pomerantz over the weekend in San Francisco. This is the same thing Luke Casey had tonight, guys. It really was. It was a left-hander that just had you off balance. And it was a left-hander that was neutralizing a good chunk of your offense. Just by virtue of being a left-hander neutralizes some of the Brewers' offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thames, you can't go with Thames. You can't go with Shaw. I mean, Yelich to a degree is certainly Yelich, and that's fine. We'll just keep him out of that scenario. And Moose has been doing decent against the lefty this year. Outside of that, you can't go with another left-handed bat. You got to twist Grandal around to the right side. Again, you've got HP in there. You see, again, HP, your slugger? Is he the dude? I mean, one of these guys got to learn how to hit some lefties and get some playing time in there. It's got to be Shaw. It's got to be Thames. One of these guys got to step up here and get it done. Ben Gamel? I mean, I would probably trust Ben Gamel against a lefty than HP.
You know, the problem is that they don't give these guys a shot. You know, how do you know that Thames isn't going to sit there and get red hot hitting lefties when he never faces one?
Yeah, you don't face one. HP, although I got to say, I am a big fan of his. I love him in the super sub role, the utility role. I really do. I think he is an asset to this team beyond anybody ever knows. But is he a dude? Is he a game changer dude?
No, he's not. But HP deserved the start today because of how many heads up, super intelligent plays
True.
That he made over the weekend.
True, and I read that article, Journal Sentinel had it. Are you kidding me? Moment of the game brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. Check them out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. And not that it was sort of an are you kidding me moment, like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It was more of a, you're kidding, right? They're not. The article said that HP, as smart as he is in terms of baseball intelligence, ultimately wouldn't mind coaching or being a manager.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. Huh. You're kidding me. I don't know, but he seems damn smart on a baseball field.
Yeah, he does. I can see it. You know, the only, you know, it seems like HP and Lo Kane are have, you know, the highest baseball IQs on that team. And you know, I could see HP doing it, and he's young. He would you know, obviously, he's got to put some time in. But by the time that he comes up, it could be a big league skipper. He would still be young. You know, he's got the same fire. Everybody loves him in the clubhouse and all that kind of stuff. You know, he could kind of be like the next Craig Counsell, and except with more fire in his belly than Craig has.
Yeah, and he's just a good guy. Good kind of a clubhouse guy, too. Who's Hot, Who's Not, brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Kept a couple of notes on the Who's Hot, Who's Not. First of all, in the month of June, not category, Orlando Arcia. Wow.
Yeah, bad.
9 for 53 now.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's a tough run for Lando. Now, I will say, as you guys know, watching each and every game, that he is hitting into some tough outs, too. So there's a little bit of bad luck in there as well. But, man, 9 for 53. In fact, 2 for 22 on this road trip into Houston, San Francisco, and now game one in San Diego. But 2 for 22, I think maybe a day off would do him good. I would look for that probably one of the next two. He would get a day off for HP at shortstop. Let's see. I do have some numbers on that Padres-Rockies series.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, again, strikeouts continue to rise year to year. Home runs continue to rise year to year. Is that sort of the trend that we appreciate in terms of our love of baseball? That's the part that I'm really struggling with that part a little bit. I'm not saying either way, but again, lean just a little bit toward, I don't know if I like this part, just kicking back and waiting for the long ball. Strikeouts are paramount for a pitcher, right? Because it's the most unproductive out that you can make. So when these kids are going through high school, college, and the minor leagues, that is their goal now. So you do have a little bit of a trend in that regard, that maybe if you were a kid playing high school, college, minor league baseball in the 70s, your goal may not have been to strike everybody out. It may have been, hey, pitch to contact, to make sure you keep your pitch count down. Strikeouts do increase pitch count too, guys. So we do have to consider that too. But our baseball players just in general being brought up a little different just because of that, because of all this, that it is a strikeout home run game. So then you spin it around, look at the offenses in baseball. The ultimate goal, hit the home run, the most productive thing you can do with the bat. So you're trained through high school, college, minor leagues. Let's get the launch angle. Let's get bat-to-ball skills. Let's get barrel on the baseball. Let's stay in attack mode. Let's hit your pitch, things like that. So you do have just a natural trend that way. So I understand it. I do. That doesn't mean I have to like it.
Right. And it's not just in baseball, Tim. You know, you sit there and with the success that the Golden State Warriors have had, now all of a sudden every NBA team is launching nothing but threes. You bring in Budenholzer for the Bucks, let it fly, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Everybody's complaining about youth leagues, and all these kids want to do is launch the three. NFL, you know, they're changing all the rules to try to basically get special teams out of the game altogether because there's an increased chance of concussions and blah, 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 blah.
Well, and take the running game away.
Exactly. Now, you know, it's all these short passes, West Coast offense and all that. So it's not just baseball that's changing. So we don't want to sit there and sound like two old guys just bitching to bitch here. But it's a fundamental change in the game, but it's not making the game more exciting. It is making it more boring.
Or is it, though? Is it sort of a contemporary millennial thing where that's what they know? That's the only game they know. They don't know any other game. They haven't seen it on a consistent basis. Like, yeah. I said, the San Francisco Giants, just, you know, a matter of handful of years ago, they did a lot of that. But, you're a victim of your sports landscape and environment also.
That's true.
So if you're brought up that way, that is spin rate and launch angle, exit velo, then that's all you know. You don't really... And I'm not saying, I'm not judging either way. What you love is what you love. But I was brought up, you were brought up, guys our age were brought up, to love the nuances of the game inside the game. And that part of it is missing a little bit these days.
Yeah, it is.
There's some of it. I love the game in the game. Don't get me wrong. But that's one of the reasons I fell in love with this game, was the game inside the game. Because each batter is a game. Each situation is a game. Each inning is a game. Each three innings, everything is a game inside the game. Your personal at bat is a game. Your count once it gets to 2-2 is its own game right there. Now you got to stay in attack, in defense mode and foul things. So maybe it's just, I don't know if it's best. But let me throw these numbers hot. Padres, Rockies, they combined for 92 runs in a 4-game set. 92 runs. In a 4-game series, the final game was a 14-13 game. The Rockies outscored the Padres 48-44 in that series. 48-44.
Yeah.
I mean, each team, they combined for 131 hits in this 4-game set. 131 hits. Charlie Blackmon had 15 hits in the 4-game set. 15.
Not a bad weekend.
For some guys, that's a good month.
Yeah.
How many hits did Ben Gamel get in the month of May? Just checking. It's the most runs scored in a series. They say it's the record, but I'm confused by this, too. Maybe they don't count anything prior to 1900. But 1887, the Cleveland Blues and the St. Louis Browns had a high total. Yeah. So they surpassed. It didn't say what it was. I'm gonna guess around 85 or 90 runs, but that was back in 1888. Now I was about 9 at that time, so I didn't like that series either.
Yeah, I wasn't born until 1892, so I just right. missed that one.
799-1250. It really is an interesting debate, and it may be an age kind of thing. And let's just call it what it is. It might be an age thing. Then that's okay. I'm not going to tell you what to love in terms of the game of baseball. I'm just saying, there are going to be games, and you've seen them, that a team needs to adjust. And I don't know if you're seeing any adjustment in game. You see second and third time through the order, a pitcher has a little different game plan. A batter has a little different game plan as to what to look for. But in terms of adjusting, like, okay, now we're going to play small ball. We got to manufacture runs. I don't think that happens very much, Jeff. I don't believe it does. I think it's just status quo. Hey, man, still do the same thing you're doing. We'll get them. We'll get the two-run shot. Second time through, we'll get a couple of runners aboard and get a three-run homer here.
I agree. It's frustrating. It drives you nuts during football season. There's no reason why it shouldn't drive you nuts during baseball season. You know, we sat there, and obviously, if you tuned back in during the last Packer season, or the season before that, or the season before that, and heard all my Mike McCarthy hate, it was because no adjustments were ever made in-game ever for the Green Bay Packers. And it's the exact same way in baseball now. It is not like it was, Tim, and like you said, you know, it could be an age thing. And all that, and, you know, people want to call me old all the time because, you know, I'm kind of a get-off-my-lawn kind of guy. But it is what it is, and, you know, I'll own it because, you know, it's not like I grew up watching in the early 80s, and, you know, there was definitely adjustments and grow up with managers like Don Zimmer that was, you know, seat of your pants and all that kind of stuff. It's different.
It is, and to give a football analogy, about 5 years ago, remember the mobile quarterbacks that came in?
Oh, yeah.
Kaepernick was one, and Cam Newton was motoring all over the place, and you had this this movement in the NFL, and it didn't last, did it?
Nope, it sure didn't. Nope. Vince Young was going to be the next star.
And so it didn't work. Now what's going to happen is someone's going to come up with this analytical information with regards to the NFL, and there's going to be a head coach at some point that's going to be, it makes no sense to run the ball. We're going to throw the ball every play because our success completely outweighs a yard or two or three in a cloud of dust. We have a far better chance to hit the home run on giving us a chance to hit a home run every play than establishing the run. And this guy's going to be looked at as a kook. But then 3, 5, 10 years later, you look back on it and you say, what a genius this dude was. He was the pioneer of all of this.
Speaking of geniuses and sticking with football, why is Bill Belichick the most successful NFL head coach decade after decade? Because every single week he brings a separate game plan for Taylor fitted to the team that he's facing. And if it starts out and that game plan is not working, he will come out in the second half or after the first quarter with a completely new game plan and completely flip the script and do something different. And well, he's got rings and the hardware to prove that is a successful way to get things done.
Oh, no question. No question. Spark of the game in this Brewers 2-0 loss. Brought to you by Current Electric. Superhero electricians can be had at callcurrent.com. Spark of the game. Yelich a double. That was your extra base hit. Matt Albers, another scoreless performance. How about Freddy Peralta? Now, we had talked about this. We want to get to this after the break here. Freddy Peralta was on the verge of being sent down. Why wasn't he sent down? We'll have that answer for you next. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey here on The Fan.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, occasionally you get games like this. I understand that. The Brewers get shut out tonight. Game one of a three-game set in San Diego. Taking on the Padres. They fall 2-0 tonight. Just 4 hits, 3 singles, and a double. Moose, Zeus, and Kane all with doubles. With singles. Yelly with the double. Drive of the game. So do we give it to one of those? No. We give it to Jacob Barnes for his drive to the airport. He gets a free trip down to San Antonio to join the AAA mission. And Freddy Peralta stayed here. And over the weekend, late last week, we had projected or at least I had, that Freddie's probably the odd man out. But as you tune into the shows, as the Monday Chacin activation got a little bit closer, you start rethinking that because you need a long man. What happens if you got a short start here? You know how Craig Counsell handles his bullpen. You get one short start, and it kind of throws things off kilter a little bit. So as the weekend got through where you didn't need Freddy Peralta to chew up or to get some length out of that bullpen, yesterday we had decided on the show that, hey, man, it's probably going to be Jacob Barnes then because you got to protect Chacin for sure coming off the IL like he did. And it looked tough. I mean, he had his pitch count into the 60s early parts of the third inning. And so it was what a great move by Counsell. It just was. Well, Stearns, Counsell, between the two of them, it was a brilliant move. It was. Freddy Peralta tonight, 2 1/3, scoreless innings out of that bullpen, and looked good. He really did. It was a nice move for this Brewers team.
Yeah, it definitely helped. You know, one hit in 2 1/3. And, he pitched strong. Good combinations. He set up his pitches really well. There was nothing but good things. And then Matt Albers, again, rock solid. And, you know, he had a good outing as well. So this bullpen, you know, they obviously have run into their struggles a lot, you know, this season. But now's a time where their arrow is pointing up.
It is. And then we're starting to see some of these bullpen arms fall into a little bit of a pocket, a little bit of a role here. And Albers has been stepping up, as you said. Claudio still has yet to find, I think, a little bit of a rhythm. But I just wonder... I just wonder if they think Freddie Peralta is built for that type of bullpen. Could he be a higher leverage guy? Because if he is, and I don't know if he is, I'm not quite sure yet on him. It scares me a little bit. You put him in a one-run game. And in this case, it was a two-run game. He had bases loaded, two outs in that fifth inning. A couple of pitches later, got a ground out. But it scares me, his first inning wildness that he's shown the propensity to have. But maybe it's a little different out of the pen and in long relief. And for now, I think the long reliever is the way to go. Just in terms of how much they've used Jacob Barnes, number one. And number two, how they handle their bullpen and quicker hooks than a lot of teams will have. And then just in the advent of a short start, one and two-thirds, two and a third kind of start, you need a little bit of length out there. Maybe Freddie Peralta is suited for this team moving forward. A little forward thinking with our friends at Forward Financial Partners at FFPWI.com might not be such a bad plan. And I think the key to this is Hauser continuing to do what he's been doing, Albers to continue to have the arrow pointed up, and then obviously you have Junior Guerra, Jeremy Jeffress, and Josh Hader.
Under him and behind him, he pitched well today. You know, I would give him another two, three outings, and if he shows that he can consistently control the ball, both when he's first called on in that first inning of relief, whether it's the fourth, whether it's the fifth, the sixth, whatever, but that he can continue it on through multiple innings like he did tonight, two and a third, you know, then I would lock solid, you know, lock him in as the designated long man. But until then, it's still kind of iffy.
Well, you didn't crush your bullpen tonight.
No, you didn't.
You could make the argument that it was a shorter start, but not a short start. But still, that being said, the bullpen wasn't taxed tonight. It really wasn't. You're in good shape for tomorrow. Claudio's ready. And again, for what you think of Claudio, you better cross your fingers on that dude. For as many appearances as he gets, he's got to figure it out, man. So they're in good shape heading into tomorrow, considering. Claudio, Guerra, Jeffress, and Hader, and Hauser all available for tomorrow's game. So they're in decent shape. You're going to have to get some runs against a left-handed pitcher. Well, and that's the deal. That's just the bottom line. That lefties, let's get Sam in here, Sam Schmitz. You have some numbers on Brewers facing left-handers.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not very pretty. Against left-handed pitching this season, it's just in general, the Brewers have a .256 batting average, a .331 on-base percentage.
Honestly, the .256, Sam, that's not that bad.
No, not really. But right, once you start getting, you know, the left-handed pitching against left-handed batters, we also have a .261 batting average for the crew. And against left-handed starters, it's a .247 batting average.
Okay. And those are from the left-handed bats?
No, versus left-handed pitchers, or left-handed starters, the team overall is a batting average of .247.
Okay, overall it is. Okay, and it's just, they're going to struggle against lefties, guys. They just are, and I'm trying to deal with it. And we've seen it before, and we're going to continue to see it unless they maybe dial in the right combination. You see you've seen the lineups here, and in today's lineup, just two left-handed hitters in this configuration here, and that was it. And that's Moose and it's Yelich, and those are the guys you trust right there. But you know, you never know. Look at Scooter Gennett. Scooter is a prime example.
Yes, he is.
He just is, and he opened my eyes a little bit to you know, this whole lefty-lefty stigma. And it may not even be a stigma. It may be real. It's more real than not. Because lefties just tend to struggle against lefties. That's just the way it is. They don't see as many. Growing up as a kid, you don't see that many left-handers. I think you're seeing more these days, but you just don't see it as opposed to right-handers. What he said was, and he was steadfast right from the start, man, I can't hit lefties if I'm not in the lineup. And that's one thing, that's a guarantee.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to hit a lefty sitting in the dugout.
Yeah. And like you said, you know, the Brewers are trying to find the right combination to put, you know, use as their lineups against these left-handed hitters. Well, tonight sure wasn't it because you got four hits and you got shut out. So you might want
to back, Jeff, if you go back to that Cubs series, I think one of the Cubs series in which they won two of three, I think they had I believe it was the Cubs series where the game plan was just amazing offensively. Whatever Andy Haynes had pulled the rabbit out of his hat or whatever, but they were going to center and left field, his lefty-lefty matchups against the Cubs. I don't know if you recall that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was something to behold. And it seems like they got away from that a little bit. Pomerantz over the weekend, and you had Mad Bum, and you had, you know, this dude tonight, Lucchesi, and they just seem to be pulling a little bit more, a little more pull happy, and you had a good game plan. So you know it's in there. Just like to see it a little bit more. Travis Shaw, hey, he's struggled against lefties in his career. I think most left-handed hitters have, to some degree, struggled against lefties. But, I mean, a 250, even a 240 lefty-lefty average is not real horrible these days in baseball.
No.
It's not that bad, but you're not going to hit 240 if you're sitting in the dugout. I just think there's a right combination in there, and I think the bottom line is, and maybe we can get to this tomorrow, we're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up next, but is Eric Thames the answer right now at first base? I'm tending to believe it kind of is, because you're going to see now Grandal probably play first tomorrow or in the series finale on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Which, hey, you know, you're going to get Manny Pena's right-handed bat in there. Do you want Manny Pena facing a lefty, or do you want Eric Thames facing a lefty? Because that's what it comes down to offensively. Just keep the defense aside. Just offensively. That's the decision. Do you want Manny Pena in there, or do you want Eric Thames in there?
Well, you know my answer. Give me Thames all day. You know,
yeah.
Eric Thames right now is the answer at first base because the other options, you know, a Grandal, he's played, what, two games all year at first? Travis Shaw, not the answer.
Right, right.
So, you know, you're running out of options. Ryan Braun, you're not going to do it. You know, I don't know if behind closed doors he is just completely, you know, said, hell no, I won't go.
Be.
But that's not going to happen. So, you know, you're stuck. You're stuck.
Well, Zeus, after a base hit tonight and a walk, there were a span of three consecutive at-bats where he was 2-for-2 with a walk and a home run.
Yeah, that's
going
huge.
Going back to yesterday.
That's huge. His average is all the way up. It has ballooned to 205.
All right. We're trending upwards. Let's hear from manager Craig Counsell after the break here as you're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Brewers fall tonight. 2-0.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
2-0, the final. Brewers fall in game one of this three-game set. They've lost four of their last six games. And all on this road trip here, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, they're 2-4 here, and they're going to have to bail out with a couple of wins here just to break even. That'd be a big accomplishment once you've dug this hole here. And they've got an opportunity here. Davies and Woodruff going to pitch the final two games of the series. Yolish Chacin pitched game one tonight, as you guys know, 4 2/3, did strike out 7. In the performance, had 3 walks, did have a hit by pitch. I think the main thing here, however, is, before we hear from Craig Counsell, is his slider. It looked better than what it was, and he does throw it. There's different ways he throws that thing. It's like 2 or 3 different pitches all in one, and he can change speeds, location, the whole deal. Didn't necessarily land all the sliders. I don't know. I was curious as to why you're feeding Manny Machado 4 straight fastballs, and your name is Yolish Chacin and Hello. Not Josh Hader, but that's just me. But it would have been slider heavy to Machado, but you had a run score on a wild pitch in the first inning, and then a home run to Machado in the third, and that's all told what the Brewers pitching staff gave up tonight. So you have to give credit to the pitching staff tonight, including Chacin. It was a good starter for Chacin's comeback here in 2019, for sure. Let's hear how Craig Counsell breaks it down after the Brewers' loss.
No, I thought he got better as the game went along, and that was the story. And he did have a slider tonight, and that's we talked about that before the game. And the strikeouts, 7 strikeouts, was good to see. His command was kind of wavered early in the game, and then say his last, maybe 50 pitches. I really liked how he threw the ball. So good, positive signs. And the way the hitters reacted to the slider was positive as well.
I think every strikeout was on the slider.
Yeah.
Does that sound right, too?
Maybe
all but one.
Yeah, I mean, early in the game, he just couldn't get any quick outs. You know, he just was deep counts. But then, I just thought as the slider got going, then we started seeing swing and miss, with the slider, or takes, like freeze him and takes. So, I thought it was a nice return, and hopefully it's something to build off. I know he had some confidence, he felt good after the start about it.
Kind of some bad luck in there as well with, that ball in the outfield that dropped between Lowe and Christian and the ball off the
umpire. Yeah, well, the ball off the umpire. I mean, that was – obviously it's hit hard, so but it was headed right towards Hernan until it hits the umpire. So, I mean, it's a hard hit ball. He pitched himself out of some jams, which was well done, and he's pretty good at. Freddie did a nice job getting him out of the fifth.
Conversely, not much going offensively for you guys. What was Lucchesi doing that was so effective?
Yeah, no, we didn't. It was a quiet night, and we had one runner in scoring position tonight. He just kept us off balance. It's 2 pitches, and just kept us off balance. Kind of fastballs down and up and in and away. The changeup he uses is, we didn't have any good swings at that pitch. I would say that was, I don't recall a good swing at the changeup. So he used that effectively. So he did a nice job.
We were saying outside that you had a ball hit in each of those first 3 innings. It looked like it could have gone out. These guys are saying on other nights those might have gone out. Lorenzo.
Yeah, I thought. I mean, the ball that surprised me a little bit was Arcia. I thought that was the hard hit ball. I thought the Arcia ball. We had a runner on base, and I thought that could have been I thought that was going to get overset.
How valuable are the innings that you're getting from Freddie out of the bullpen, especially some of these lucky inning appearances?
Yeah. Well, tonight was a big night. As we enter the stretch, of a lot of games. He gave everybody else Maddie came in and threw a nice inning, but I loved how Freddie threw the ball. I liked that he had to come into a really tough spot with some men on base, and he made a great pitch to Kinsler. Any multi-inning appearances, I think, at that point the game's still, we're right in the game, and he gets Kinsler out, and we're still right in the game. So, I think. It's what Freddie's going to do for us right now, and I'm glad he could come out and make an impact tonight.
With Lucchese, his funky delivery, is that anything that really gets to hitters, or is it just
Well, yeah, I mean, that's part of what makes him good. There is some deception from that delivery. He throws some, very high arm slot. It makes that, the changeup good. It makes his fastball down good. His fastball down just got some, kind of carry on it and stays in the zone. So, yeah, that's his deception is definitely part of who he is, for sure. And hitters don't like what they don't see, and he has a delivery that you don't see very much.
All right, there he is, Craig Counsell, after the Brewers' 2-0 loss, game one of a 3-game set to San Diego. And Brewers now at 40-32, half game up on the Cubs. Cubs pick up a half game. They were idle on Monday night, since it is now, Tuesday morning?
Yep.
And so the central race continues. And you look around the league, I mean, coming into play tonight, you have a little bit of a log jam in that National League. It is a lot of fun to see that the Braves are there at 41 wins, Brewers at 40, the Cubs and Phillies at 39 wins. Even the St. Louis Cardinals in the mid-30s there. I can't count out the New York Mets to get on a run. They're at 34 wins. So, but you do have Arizona in there as well, Jeff, at 38 wins coming in.
Yeah, the unfortunate part for them is that, they're still chasing the Dodgers, who have a outrageous win total so far.
Yeah, and the Rockies. So you look at the Rockies. So this is going to be fun. And the most fun here for me is the fact that this team, the Brewers 2019 championship season team, they really haven't played their best baseball yet, and I'm going to stay with that because they haven't. We've seen it for maybe, I'll go back and look at some of my game notes, but we've seen it maybe for a 3 or 4, maybe 5-game stretch, a week's worth of baseball. That's about it. We haven't seen a good long run of good, solid baseball, and they've been challenged with some injuries and some bumps and bruises within a lot of stretches here. But we haven't seen the 10, 12, 17-game run that they got on a couple of different times last year. And, of course, last year was like a 30, 35-game run at the end. But we really haven't seen a couple of weeks, a couple of 2-3 weeks, a great month, let's say. And when that hits, then we're going to see. Because right now we're going back and forth as predicted, and it's going to be like this the rest of the summer. So the weather is going to heat up. Believe it or not, it will.
And the Brewers are going to put it together. They're going to make a run like that, an extended run. You're right. We have not seen it. I don't think this entire season for more than 3-4 games in a row where you got the starters, the bullpen, and the bats all rocking and rolling in a cohesive unit, all kicking ass at the same time. We haven't seen it. We will see it. And sure, when it happens, look out, baby.
Yeah, the Rockies even had a 9 or 10-game winning streak in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have their winning streaks, guys. They will. Especially when you have Woodruff, Davies, and now Chacin. I'm actually, now that I've digested some of his numbers here and go back and look at what Chacin did tonight, I'm pretty encouraged with his performance moving forward. I really am. I don't think it was that bad. It's not opportune. I mean, 4 2/3, a 2-run ball, but coming off the IL, slider just starting to come on a little bit. Hey, man, I'm encouraged about it.
And the fact that he went over 100 pitches in his first start off the IL, that is huge.
You know who I would befriend if I'm Chacin, if he hasn't yet?
Who's
it? Pick his brain. Sit next to him on a flight. When you come back off this road trip, face the Reds on Thursday, when you come back, I want Chacin to sit right next to Zach Davies.
Yeah.
And say, hey, man, what are you doing here to get deeper into ball games? That would be a great conversation for him to have. Because if Chacin, as you said, 100 pitches through 4 2/3, Well, what if he gets some quick outs like Davies does? Davies has how many innings does he have? 7-8 pitches. And that's how he gets the length. But we'll find out in game two as the Brewers take on the San Diego Padres. Need to win this one to have a shot to come back 500 in the 8 games. 2 in Houston, 3 in San Francisco, 3 in San Diego. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show. Gets you ready for game two, and after the last pitch, you make the switch. We appreciate having a conversation with you guys about your favorite team. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Thanks to Sam Schmitz for the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski. My name is Tim. Have a great night, morning, what have you, and smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.